But also the law is not sufficient. So even people who are called by God's name, born again, I mean, they're on the covenant and so on, even they can't behave themselves. Though they have his very, not only written on their hearts, they have his revelation that he gave to Moses to give to the people of Israel, how you'll be a light to the Gentiles. You will actually, they'll see your light and they'll repent and give glory to the Father. Never happened. Never once did it happen. So not only did conscience fail mankind, which God wrote up upon everybody's heart, everybody has it, they know, do right, don't do wrong. Now they also know, not by natural law, but revealed law. God has actually revealed it to Moses and said, don't you ever sin. Don't do bad. Do good. But still, it failed. And after hundreds of years, and then really just time untold, even to this day, they have not yet learned that lesson. So the Israeli people still haven't learned that lesson. And so God, back in Isaiah 6th chapter, he said, that's it. That's it. I'm not going to plead with you. As a matter of fact, tell them that though you perceive what I'm doing, don't repent. Just don't. And don't make your heart soft. Just leave it hard. Just leave your hard, stubborn heart just the way it is. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer. But the question is, have you ever dealt with people that you share over and over again the gospel, the good news, and they refuse? They do not, they won't accept it. And you told them with sincerity of heart, this is good news. This is good news. So if conscience fails man before the flood, and then after the flood, also the law that was given to Moses 430 years after Abraham got that covenant. Now, you know, Abraham was the covenant not of law, he was the covenant of the gospel. He's the father of faith. So if the conscience failed man, that's the pagans, and then the law itself of Judah, of Judah and Jerusalem, it failed man too. So even Israel didn't repent. Now I'm just trying to tell you something. I'm trying to say that God has a certain point at which he says, okay, I've done all I can do. And I have a number of people, but I'm not going to go any further. I believe America is at that juncture. America is the only nation that actually was founded on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That counts. But I want you to know something. But only so far will God go, and then he cuts it off. There's a window of opportunity, and then it's over. And so, I didn't know if you wanted to hear that message or not. But I just want you to know that God still loves everybody, and anybody that wants to become a Christian, anyone who wants to be a Christian, they're welcome to, and God will receive them right away. Because now we have the good news. Not only was conscience a failure, not only was the law a failure. He said, you never did what I said. You never did do what I said. And so, I've decided to send my son, Jesus, on earth. And this was in 4 BC. And he will give you the gospel. He will give you the new good news that, you know, forget the law thing, forget the conscience thing. Even though it's written on your heart, and any time you want to repent, you're welcome to. But since you didn't, I'm now going to have Jesus share the good news in such a way that it's free. It's just free. I've decided to end the law thing. That law thing didn't work, just like the conscience didn't work. And now a third thing, and there's not going to be any more. This is it. So now that should waken certain people. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. And today, except for Texas, most of the other states, I'm joking on that, most of the other states have long ago become post-Christian or post-Jesus or whatever. And they no longer believe in that. And the young people coming out of school today, they don't even know about Christianity.
It's true.
They're not even against it or for it. They don't even know about it. They're ignorant. And that's fine. I'm in. So I'm glad I'm in.
Amen.
And I want to do the will of God voluntarily. Nobody's making me do it. I want to do it. And I believe that God is good, and I believe he wants people on earth that are his stewards, our trustees, or, you know, whatever term you, servants, whatever. He believes that certain people who were slated in Abraham when he made that covenant on Israel, he also made it for us too. And we're part of that. So that third one, the Abrahamic covenant, still holds today, and people still come to Jesus. I'm amazed how many people come to Jesus. I'm not amazed at how many don't. I'm amazed at how many do. You just share it. Because people are really ignorant. I mean, people with a conscience are ignorant, and people with the law are ignorant. The people with the law are ignorant because they think that moral man, a man behaving himself, is what Christianity is all about. So they try to behave. But they don't know if there's one God or 50 gods or 5,000 gods or 5 million. They don't even know anything. And so conscience can tell you there's a God, but it can't tell you much else. It can tell you there's a final judgment, but it can't tell you much else. And then the law, well, obviously the Jewish people never kept the law. I mean, to this day, they're still, are you keeping Torah? Yeah, I mean, I did. I tried. I had a little bacon last week, but I feel sorry about that. But they're not really serious. They're liars. Did I make that clear? They're liars. Because everybody knows it's written on their heart, the conscience. They know they did wrong. And they know by keeping the law, they never kept it with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. They never did. They never did. And they know it. Everybody knows it. I mean, you can't walk up to a person and say, did you know that you're not living exactly the way Jesus said? They don't really care. So I just wanted you to know that because I'm preaching now between Daniel, which was this is a long time before the end of the world. Okay? So 500 years before Jesus, and that was 2,000 years ago, so 2,500 years, that's when he lived. And that's when he began to prophesy what I'm going to read you now. So Daniel was chosen of God. He was one of the last. As a matter of fact, they destroyed the temple when Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians came down to swoop upon them. Because remember, the Assyrians have hundreds of years ago swallowed up the northern tribes, the Yankees, and now the southern tribes, us. But I don't think Texas will ever buy into that junk or the Bible Belt or something. And I don't think we're going to buy that. So that's why I'm here. I'm here because I think this is the last hope. I don't think the hope is in Utah. I don't think it's in Chicago. I don't think that's the last hope for America, the land of Abraham Lincoln, all that stuff. I don't believe that. I believe that Texas is the last hope. Just remember that, Judah. Just think about that. That we may be the only ones. We're the only ones that fight for the country. We're the only ones that just do stuff. Because we're, you know, a horseshoe is a horseshoe. I mean, it's just, that's it. Jesus in the Bible, that's it. So Texans are people that don't think about all that learned stuff, because they know all those learned people at TCU and SMU and whatever the U's are. They just believe learning doesn't get you anywhere. And they're right. They're really right. Because a lot of learning today is all humanistic. It's all just man-made stuff without God. Just man-made stuff without God. So this is what Daniel, in the 9th chapter, is going to say to the people. And I'm going to begin at the 70th week, which is the week we're in. Where we're in that week. And we're almost to the end of it. And the only thing ahead of us is the Antichrist and then the 1,000-year reign and blah, blah. And so I'm going to teach about that all year, because it's so enormous that everybody's missing it. It's so enormous because it's over at a little while. And since it's over, we only have 1,200 and some days to do what you need to do to get ready. So I want to read from Daniel. I've read this before, but I haven't read this portion of it. So this is Daniel, the 9th chapter. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth, Daniel, and I am come to show thee, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter, consider the vision. Now I'm going to share you the vision. This is the vision. If you understand this, you understand what's going to happen, because this guy was at the very beginning, 2,500 years ago, 2,600 years ago, somewhere in that area. 70 weeks are determined upon your people. 70 weeks are determined upon your people. Now, the word for weeks is not in the Bible. The word is Shabua. Shabua. So Shabua means 70 times 7. So that's 70 times 7, 490 years. So after that moment, the gospel is going to begin. After that moment, the gospel is going to begin. And the law will end. And yet we're still in it. We're still in it. The Muslims now chop your head off, and, you know, used to be, and so on. If you're a woman caught in adultery, you're stoned and all that stuff. That's now over. That's over. No one does that anymore. The Muslims still do it. But there are other silly people. And so they aren't into righteousness. They're into wickedness. They're into wickedness. So we have a whole world out there is dedicated to wicked, and we're the righteous ones. I think we're going to be persecuted. I think people will hate us because we're smiling. I think people that hate people that get on the elevator and say, "Hallelujah, what a day." And without apology, and here in Texas, we're just, "Hallelujah." We don't care whether anyone else likes it or not. That's the way it is. And so a lot of people are trying to save America today, and America is the only nation that could actually do this. But even the nation, even with Trump, whatever, and so on, it's not going to be exactly as you think. It might not work out exactly as you think. But nevertheless, you have a window of opportunity right now to make hay while you can. And then after that, the hay season is over and something else. And so, listen to this prophecy. Oh, Daniel 9:23, where I started, and now 9:24. So, Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined. That's by the boule, the council of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're up in the highest heaven there, and they're all together right now. The Holy Spirit lives in us, but he's also a spirit, so he goes about easily. Because spirits aren't tied down to heaven or mid-heavens or any place. It's spiritual. And so the Holy Spirit is in you, and Jesus is in you, and the Father is in you, and so on. I feel connected. I feel connected with God Almighty. And so, you know, fooey on the world. I'm not into the world. I'm not into what they're into. And that's fine. I'm not even criticizing what they're doing. I'm just simply saying it isn't exactly what Jesus had in mind. So 70 weeks. So I told you the word weeks is not in the Bible. It's Shavua, 70 times 7. 70 times 7, 490 days. So that means that this guy reading this right now knows that in a few years it's going to start. And he's even told all about this. So listen carefully to this. This is the prophecy. 70 weeks are determined upon your people, Israel, and upon the holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, sins, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, Jesus. So what he's saying here, I know you can't really understand it, so I'm going to explain it to you. He's talking about the inauguration of Jesus. And just before he mounts the throne and inaugurates himself, they kill the guy. that's not fair. He was just about to be king, and they killed him. And that was the plan of the Antichrist, to kind of take over and finish that Tower of Babel thing, and kind of see if they couldn't beat us to the punch. And so that Tower of Babel thing doesn't understand the power of the temple. Did you know you are the temple? Tim, you're the temple. I'm the temple. We're the temple. I'd rather be just you and me, Tim, on the Lord's side than with all the other groups. I don't care about them. Whatever they do, they do. Doesn't bother me. It's not really disturbing in my case to worry about what the bad guys are doing. I'm only worried about the good guys. I'm worrying just like about Jesus. He's only worried about us. He's not worried about the bad guys, because the only one that could make a bad guy good was us. Jesus can't do it. He's up in heaven right now. And even though he works through you, through the Holy Spirit, and he is working through you, through the Holy Spirit, you're his branch. You're one of his branch outlets. You're one of his branch, distribution points on earth. And here we are in Texas. Woohoo! I like it. We're building new neighborhoods every day. You just got to reach out to your neighbors and share them the good news. Amen. And you'll be hated for it. You'll be despised for it. That's chair five. That's chair five. But don't worry about it. This is Jesus. We're not talking nonsense down here about earth and, you know, economy and, you know, politics and all that kind of stuff. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about society. We're not even talking about that. We're just talking about the kingdom of heaven. We are the new creation of God. Kainakathesis. two words in the Greek. It means a brand new creation that was never before on the earth. And until Jesus came, you didn't have an end of sin. So for us in the church, I mean, the world doesn't care about all that nonsense, but we're outdoing the people that are trying to be moral. I'm going to tell you something. There is no such thing as a moral person.
That's right.
None. There's no such thing as a moral person. A moral person will sooner or later do immoral things. That's the failure of the Jewish system. That you can't behave yourself and think that what you're doing is going to produce anything. Anybody here who's moral, I mean, by background or however you were, you're going to do an evil thing. I mean, you already have, but I'm just going to say it's going to come out. I'm just going to tell you that there is no such thing as God is good and so are you. You're not good. You've never been good, and you never will be good. For all eternity, you're not going to be good. You're a derivative, in economic terms. A derivative is something that derives from something else. So Jesus has life in himself. You don't. And so you're one of his derivatives. You have life in himself if you're related to him, heart to heart. Deep calleth unto deep. Otherwise you're not. So if you're just a moral person or immoral, I don't really care, because I just told you they're the same thing. Moral and immoral are the exact same thing. A lot of homosexuals today are thinking, you know, we're gonna try to clean up our act and come out of the closet and do all this kind of stuff. It doesn't work. God doesn't like it. God doesn't like it. He doesn't want that. He doesn't think that's part of his program. And he's really into his program.
That's right.
Which is to make us holy. And there's something in us. There's no holiness in us. There isn't any. There's never been any. There is not any. And the only holiness there is in Jesus. And that's the only holiness that we have, is Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, it says, God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. I mean, that's said over and over again.
Glory.
But Jesus added these words, there is none good but God. There is none good but God. Only God is good. Only God is good. You're not. You never have been. You never will be. Your moral goodness is a lie. I've said this over and over again, but I'm saying it again. Show me a person that's moral, I'll show you an immoral person.
Yeah.
That person is evil in God's sight. Because he thought without God, he could be good. I just told you, only God is good, and no one else is good but God. That's it. And since God is the only one in the universe that acts, you can't act without him using you as a branch. He's the vine, you're the branch, and all the fruit. That's him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's your only glory, is him you're in relationship with. You're not a performer. You're not a moral performer. You're not behaving yourself. There's one thing about Trump nobody knows about, is we don't really know what he's like, because he's new. He's new to the job.
Yeah.
And so we don't know if he's a Christian, or we don't know what he really is. We know he's Presbyterian or something, but we don't even know what that means. And so it's okay. He's fine. He's better than the other person. That's good, but I want you not to rely on that. He's not the Church of Jesus Christ. And not us. Right? And I don't care where he is. He could be far ahead. You know, I don't really care. I'm just telling you, he's not the main event. The main event right now is us.
Yeah.
We're the main event. You know, as little as we are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, as little as we are, we're the main event. I don't mean us only. I mean innumerable. I mean, you can't even number them, how many there are. But whatever that, I leave that to God to number stuff. But God, you know, is wanting to make you a perfect Christian. A perfect Christian in this world. He doesn't want you to wait till heaven. Let's make one now. You can actually serve God right here. He can talk to you and you can hear him and you can say what he says and do what he does or not. It doesn't make any difference. I'm just telling you, you can actually do that right now. How many know that there's nothing even in the pagan that's a pagan living by conscience. There's nothing in that pagan that couldn't behave himself. But it won't get you to heaven. And there's nothing in a Jewish person that's keeping the law, nodding at the Western Wall and so on. There's nothing in him that couldn't repent and believe on Jesus. There's nothing in him. But he just chooses not to. And so, in fact, the Bible says that was hooked on him in Isaiah 6. In Isaiah 6, he said in the year that the, you know, King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And all of a sudden, these angels are singing, holy, 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 Nikaios, Hagios, Doxa, in the Greek language. In Hebrew, it's just Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. But it's broken down in English because Jesus is a new creation. He's making a new creation. You're born again. You're born again. You're not your natural self. As far as this world's concerned, you are. But as far, and this world can't even distinguish between your good works that the Father did and you. They can't. They know, well, that wasn't right, what you did. There, they can see that part. But they really can't say, are you more moral than moral people? Christopher Hitchens, you know, he's the atheist, that always said, that now, you know, I'm atheist, but I believe in morals. Yeah, there's a book out on him. And so you can read that. But the point is, his brother was a spirit-filled believer. We were talking about that the other night. And so on. He is an atheist, and all he's doing is moral stuff. He's not Christian. He's not in love with Jesus, and he had the guts to say so. I'm not a Christian. I'm an atheist. I'm a total atheist. And I believe that, you know, I'm a good person. And my cousin, who's an atheist, I guess, he's just a year older, and he's the same way. He's the same way that Margaret particularly, I wish Margaret were here, but I remember the day that we were visiting him in Chicago, and his eyes, her eyes lit up when he said, now, I don't believe in God and anything like that, but I am a good person. She just, her eyes, because we'd always spoken about that, and now suddenly she sees an atheist right there. Like, he said it, Dad. She's like amazed, because I always told her that there are people that are phony, that are fake, that are liars. But every moral person is immoral. You cannot show me a moral person that is not immoral. And God hates it. I mean, hates it. There's nothing that hates more. I'm telling you, there's nothing he hates more than a moral person. He'd rather have you cold. He'd rather have you cold, be against him, atheist, whatever, than to say you're a moral person and you're in your flesh, you're producing stuff for God. Now, your flesh can't produce stuff for God. Because it's Jesus. You have to be in relationship with Jesus. He has to live in you. And then he has to, you know, he's the vine and you're the branch that bears all that fruit and so on. And when men see your good works, they'll give glory to your Father in heaven. Are you aware of that? So what Christians do, real, honest to goodness Christians, they don't do like the world. They just do whatever they do, and they're relaxed about it because they're not even thinking about doing and not doing. They're just doing. And sometimes they do bad, and sometimes they good. How many know Christians sin? I mean, you cannot name me a Christian that doesn't sin. And so on, except pastors. I better correct that because that's going to be on a tape. So that might work its way around the world. So pastors are no good. It's just same as everybody else. So, but Jesus Christ wants to live his perfect life through us. He's living his life. He's not up in heaven living his life. He's down here in our hearts living his life through us. And it's powerful. It's wonderful, right? You're doing it right now.
Amen.
Just by coming to church, you're guaranteed a seat in heaven. Well, that might not be true. I better correct that one, too. I'm just joking about that. We can have hypocrites right here. That's not a problem. But morals are not Christianity. Like, I'm a Christian because that's the way I can become moral. It's not. As a matter of fact, Jesus hates that more than anything else. Because that was you doing something for God when God wanted to do something for you. God wanted to keep the atonement. God wanted to make the sacrifice. God wanted to do everything for you as a free gift. As a free gift. I mean, Bonnie, I don't know how anyone can turn that down. It's a free gift. And we're just scoundrels. He loved us while we were yet sinners, and then he changed us to a new creation. I don't even know what he's talking about. But I am a new creation. Wow. Because that's what he said, and I believe it. And if I believe it, I've acted upon what he promised, and now I am one. I'm a Christian. I used to be not one, and my wife would point that out. You're a pastor, but you don't behave like a pastor. No, that's Jesus' part. You know, I was always blaming everything on Jesus. Something was wrong. Jesus, you know, he didn't do his job. He has to love me just the way I am. And later I overcame that. But, you know, for a while there, I just blamed Jesus for everything. Whatever it was, I had good news. You know, whatever happened, I just blamed Jesus for it. It's Jesus. You know, he didn't come through. He was supposed to be in me and working, and I guess he's not working. Because I was measuring it. My relationship to him was, I was right in my heart, but I was wrong in my head. I just didn't understand things. But now, I love everybody here. I love even my enemies. I love everybody. There isn't anybody I don't love. So people that are icky, awful, I like them. Why? Because Jesus likes them. Amen. So Jesus likes everybody, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Just because Jesus likes you doesn't make you a Christian. So the only chair up there on all those chairs, did I move this off? Something. Okay. Chair 2 is a complete phony chair. It's just completely phony. It's somebody trying to behave like they're religious or like they're Christian. And they're not anything. They're just lukewarm. Or at best. But the Jewish problem was that they could never keep the law. Remember, he said, there's two ways to please me. Do everything I said, and then here, just believe on Jesus as your righteousness. I like this other one. I like this one. Susan, I don't know why I like that one. Because it seems to favor me. It seems to be on my side, like Jesus sent, the Father sent Jesus into the world to be my righteousness, and here he is. I mean, he's not my righteousness. I haven't even seen him. I haven't even seen Jesus. I did have a vision, but I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, I don't even know what he's talking about. I'm just reading the book. So, here's what he said, this 70th week. Listen to it. Because he's fulfilled the first half of that week, 3.5 years. His ministry is 3.5 years. His ministry is 3.5 years. Okay. So, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgressions, make an end of sins. Remember, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, here he is, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Wow. He announced him right away. He saw him. There he is. That's the one I'm the herald for. That's the one I'm introducing. So that Jesus, that's the one right there. He takes away the sins of the world. He doesn't just forgive you. That's a Savior. But he's also the Lord who actually takes away your sins. So your sins are gone. As a matter of fact, you're a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Wow. That's an interesting idea. That's an interesting idea, is that I'm a new creation. You're new.
Amen.
You know, you'll probably misbehave after this. Yeah. It's good answer. And sometimes two times in one day. But it doesn't make any difference because we're not focused on that because Jesus died for that. That's over. That's already finished. So the fact that somebody sins is not the issue. The fact that the only sin is now unbelief. The only sin is now unbelief. The only sin is now unbelief. So this is the only sin, is not believing that Jesus loves you just as you are, without one plea. So it's difficult for me to preach this anywhere because people don't understand it. They don't understand that every moral person is really immoral. Every rational person is always irrational. They just add up stuff, and TCU and whatever they are, SMU and so on. Those are just words. But people that are pretending something are pretending, and they're liars. And I don't know why a lot of women marry men. I don't know why that is. It's kind of like silly. As though a man could actually be your life, your joy, your peace. Right? There's never been a man like that. I can't think of any. They're all unreliable. But men are not good. Well, women are just like them. Well, so then there's no difference between a man and a woman. We're all the same. So let's look into this 70 weeks because it's kind of fascinating because the future is in it. The last half of the week has not yet happened. Do not think, we read this out of Thessalonians, do not think that this is the time of the Antichrist. Don't think this is the time of, you know, the millennium and so on. No, no, no. We haven't even gotten to that. That's what history is aiming for. These 70 weeks, that's going to end it. And then it's going to become the millennium, and then it's going to become the devil this, and stuff that, and so on. And then new heavens and new earth. Well, that's all way ahead of us. I easily could preach today just about 33 things in my head about things that haven't happened yet. That they're just further ahead. They're further ahead. They were prophesied in the Old Testament, but now they're being let out. And I would say, not braggadocious. I'm just saying you can't hear this anywhere because all the stuff that's written is false, meaning it's not anchored on actual scriptures. And so they mix up, you know, this time of like the millennium. The millennium is when a lot of things will happen for the Jewish people. But that's after the Antichrist. That's after the false prophet. That's after the whore being thrown off. And so on. That isn't even come yet. It may be around the corner, but it hasn't come yet. So the world is now crazy thinking about, you know, him lowering our taxes and so on. You know, don't be all caught up in that. That guy's just doing his job. Just leave them alone. It's not nice to breathe for a while. But in the end, it won't work out. How many know, because what I'm going to preach is so far, it's a paradigm shift away from where we are right now. So when Jesus comes back, he's the only one. He's the only one. He's the only one that's righteous and true and so on and so forth. And so Jesus is my beloved. I don't have a love affair. Whom have I in heaven but thee? That's in heaven. And there's none on earth that I desire beside thee. So I don't have anyone, Susan. I don't have anybody. I have only God in heaven and only God on earth. And it's the same. It's the same thing. The guy in heaven is God Almighty, and the guy on earth is one of his guys. One of his guys on earth. And the one has to be submitted to the other. Everybody, I tell you, someday every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Now, and he said one time, he said, you know, when I say I'm the Lord, that means you do what I say. He said that. He said that. I did, it's just a quote. He said, if you call me Lord, why don't you do what I say? You can call me Savior because I save people. I save people that are lost. But once I save you, now I'm your Lord, and I want to disciple you until you're perfectly educated, chastened, and taught, and so on and so forth. Well, you're not there. Remember those foolish virgins? They came along and said, well, you know, the wise ones made it, but we haven't made it. And they told us to go to the shambles right there in Jerusalem and trying to buy some oil. Because we don't have any oil of the Holy Spirit. We don't have that. Now we got it. Now we got it. So he said, depart from me, you evildoers. What? They were finally there. They finally there. But the wedding was over. The wedding was all over. And so Jesus said, I never knew you. I didn't know you as Lord. If you would have said, Savior, Savior, I might have let you in. But you could have been a guest or something, but you're not my bride because I'm coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, without stain, without anything. I want a perfect bride. You're going to go to heaven. In heaven, there's no sin. I mean, there's a place just before you go to heaven that you dump all your sin and then you can enter. That's not true. Made that up. But the truth is, there isn't any place. You just have Jesus who said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. I will surely. I'm promising you that. You don't have to worry about it. I've done everything. Everything the Father wanted to do. I'm the Lamb of God that takes away. I'm the bridegroom. I'm the Savior. I'm the everything you need. I'm the only thing between you and God. There isn't any emperor. There is no pope. There is no, you know, big shot somewhere, Pastor Jim or anybody. There's nobody between you and God. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. So all this stuff, I would say today, what I'm preaching to you, this is not big deal. What I'm preaching to you, this Bible is unknown. This Bible, what I'm going to preach to you, it's unknown. People are aware of the great white throne. They're aware of, you know, the thousand-year thing. But they haven't even thought about it. Most Christians, they don't even know what the thousand years is all about. I mean, for many Christians, the thousand years has already been passed. For other Christians, it's yet to come. And for other Christians, we're in it now. They don't even know anything. They don't. And so it's good to sort these things out. So, here it is. 25. And to anoint, I didn't read this part, to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Holy One. That's Jesus. Jesus will be the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment, the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks, or 70 times 7. and 62 weeks, this is another portion of that, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. So that's all mysterious. I know you'd have to think about that a lot to figure it out. So I think I'll let you. No, I can tell you. He's just talking about 69 weeks is how much? How much? How much is, you know, what is it? What is it? No, 69 weeks of the 70 weeks, 70 times 7, 490 years, subtract. You have to subtract from that. So the 70th week hasn't even been completed. But 69 years is when the ministry of John the Baptist started, 483 years from 457 BC in Babylon. So Daniel is before that. He's not even there, but he's just saying 79 years out of that, that's the time that it'll be 26 AD. 26 AD. Jesus born 4 BC plus 20. He's 30 when he's 6 months behind John the Baptist. So John the Baptist begins the ministry, the gospel. He says this, "Repent! For the kingdom of God is at hand." That's it. And then when Jesus is starting his ministry, he says the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, Jewish people, pagan people, everybody repent. You're all rotten, no good sinners.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting? Aren't you glad you came? It's good. It's good for you to realize there's nothing good in you, never has been, and never will be. So the new creation is brand new. It's just something he just created out of the old thing and just pressed all out of sight. So I'm going to start a new creation. And we're part of the new creation. What is it? It's not time and space. It has nothing to do with this world. You're a timeless, spaceless person. Weird. But that's the way it is. So, did you know that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation? Doesn't say he will be.
That's right.
There's a difference between past and present and, whatever. This is you're a new creation now, if anyone's in Christ. If you are, you're a new creation. Woohoo! Woohoo!
Praise the Lord.
That's exciting. I'm excited. Go ahead, Pastor. That's good. Just keep yahooing. Yahoo! Yahoo! I don't know why that's not good news to everybody. Because you didn't do anything for it. It's a free gift. Just a free gift. It lets you in just purely based upon God's goodness. God's goodness. God's goodness. His holiness. His mercy. His grace. Everything about God.
Glory to God.
It's free. It's free. It's free. You remember, this is way back. In the Garden of Eden, when he first created man, let us make man in our own image and in according to our likeness and so on. Betzalemnu kadamutnu, all that. Well, now, in the next chapter, just across the page, it also says that you may freely eat of all the trees of the garden. Period. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that says there has to be a comma or a period or whatever. None of that's in the Bible. I just want you to know that. So all of that is added by men who are trying to understand the Bible. So they're just period. What's wrong with you may freely eat of all the trees? Eat them all. Eat everything. You may freely eat of all, period. Now nobody reads that except me. But I'm right. I'm going to prove it, because only God is good. So how can you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when the tree of life is obviously good, huh? I mean, if you eat of the other tree that kills you, you need this one to balm you up and heal you. But what if there's no difference between good and evil? What if those are not capital letters? What if those are just simple letters that means every moral person is immoral? What if? What if? Why? Because God said so throughout the whole Bible, that only God is good and no one else is good but God. It's like, I don't know, that just seems obvious to me. That seems obvious that even your good is actually evil in God's sight. And even your evil is actually nothing. It's just another evil. It's just evil. So our evil is evil, and so is our good. Man, at his best state, is altogether...
Vanity.
I want to say it again, because you got to get this. Man, at his best state, his moral state, his kind state, his nice state, his wonderful state, altogether vanity, nothing. Zero. Man, at his best state. And the Jewish religion... That's even worse, because that one is all your righteousness is filthy rags. That's Isaiah 64, 6. That's amazing. Do y'all see that?
Yes.
There's nothing you can do to ever please God, because you don't do anything. You have never done anything, and you never will do anything. All the rest is just made up. I mean, you know, of course people can build bridges and, you know, painting and so on and so forth. You know, but all that is just nonsense. That's not civilization. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's nothing. And God uses history to bring forth his own program. So all he's doing in our day is getting you ready for what I'm trying to get you ready for, is that when you appear before Jesus, don't answer this. God... You know, except for what Jesus did, that was pretty good. But I added a few things. Don't add that. But just don't add that. Just don't pick that one out. Is I helped out a little bit that Jesus needed help on that part. No, don't do that. Just simply say, Jesus is my righteousness. If that offends you, too bad. I'm sorry. Because Jesus is the only righteousness on earth.
Amen.
And if he didn't come down here, you wouldn't even know about it.
That's right.
If he hadn't shown up in his creation and revealed the word of God, we would never know about it. Because the law thing through Moses didn't help a thing. As a matter of fact, the New Testament says that the purpose of the law was to reveal the fact that you could not do the law. So you can't do the law, even if you tried. Even if you tried to do the law, you can't do it.
Praise
Amen?
Lord.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
This side needs to have some more people. Bruce got to get some people here.
I showered.
So God is awesome. I love God. Let me finish up. This is so powerful. And verse 26. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. There it is. But not for himself, for you. But not for himself, for you. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. That's a different prince, not the Messiah. That's a different one. This is the Romans. This is Romans 70 AD. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So in the middle of the week, 62, that's it. Jesus was cut off. As soon as he died, he left. We haven't even seen him. He waited around for, 40 days, and then Pentecost was 10 days hence, and so on and so forth. And that's the last we saw him. He just ascended into heaven. We haven't seen him since. But he's in your heart, because you're a new creation. He's in your heart. He's in your heart. It's too powerful. I wish everyone would preach what I'm preaching. I'm not even special. I'm not any. I'm nothing. I'm just reading the book. I'm reading what it says, and I'm just saying, well, it's just what it says. It's not interesting. Anything I'm teaching is not interesting, but I say that the Bible is an unknown book today in America.
That's true.
Who else? The rest of the world. I mean, it's unknown throughout the whole world. That's why we have, you know, missionaries that go forth and, you know, share the Bible, because people don't even know it. That's the only reason I go on mission trips, is so you can see and bring back missionaries and can talk about what's going on throughout the whole world. I mean, the whole world's being reaped. There are people everywhere reaping for Jesus Christ. Our own country's going down the drain, but we're reaping for Jesus and everybody else. Europe, don't go there. There's no hope in Europe. Those people are beyond hope. They're humanists. Everybody in America is becoming humanist. We resisted it for a long time. But now we finally, you know, nobody's reading their Bible anymore. And so the people are ignorant, and the pastors don't even know these things that were so obvious to our founding fathers. Our founding fathers knew more about the Bible than we do.
That's for sure.
They knew exactly where everything was. They read in Greek and Hebrew and Latin and so on, all of them. All of our founding fathers were not ignorant. They spoke 10, 15 languages, those that created our documents and so on. They weren't ignorant people. And so the world wondered after this America thing, what's it going to do? What's it going to be? Finish up. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy this city, 70 AD, and the sanctuary, 70 AD, and the end thereof shall be with a flood of blood, by the way, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. What's a desolation? In Hebrew and in Greek, those two words, this is what this word right here is, toba, abomination, an abomination, desolation. Desolation is a different word, but abomination, the abomination of desolation. What is that? What is abomination of desolation? Okay, I'm going to read it for you so you can then understand this. Shamen is the word for desolation. So God has prophesied that from Jesus forward, desolations will come because the gospel didn't work. It has not produced what the Europeans expected and what we Americans expected. Except for Texas. Here, we still believe in these things. We just believe them. They're in the Bible. Jews are in the Bible, so they're in. That's it. Somebody said, well, why do you believe in Israel? It's in the Bible. That's it. There's nothing interesting about that. So horseshoe is a horseshoe, and that's the way it is. And so I like the way Texans think. It was just, right, read the Bible. And desolations are determined. In other words, that eremosis is the same word in Greek as the same word toba. These words are just the same. Now, abomination, that's the other word, that is toba and bidel lugma. These are the words in Hebrew and Greek. You don't care about those words, but I'm just saying those words are powerful, because a waste is something that has no value. It's something that's like a desert. There's no green growing there. There's nothing lively, alive, nothing living in a desolation, in desolations. And so what Jesus said is, from now on, there's going to be desolations in the earth until Jesus comes back. That's the way you get them to go here. When he comes back, and it could be in a few years, it could be while I'm alive. I'd like that. I'd like that, because we're almost the same age. So I'd like it to come to let me celebrate. But you have to be weird to believe that. But I believe that God's real. I believe that someday every knee will bow, every tongue confess. And, you know, it's just a silly thing. I couldn't talk anybody into it. I just declare it. I just say it. I just say it. And I have no apology because I don't care if you kill me or let me live. I don't care. I don't care. So, and he shall confirm the covenant in the midst of the week, shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. In other words, no more law. No more law. What is the greatest thing in the world today that God detests? That's a desolation. Something he detests. That's an abomination. That's something, I don't like it. So the abomination of desolation, you know what it is? I could give you scriptures. But one of them is that the law will end. That's what Jesus is for. You remember the 70th week? It said these things, these things, these things. That's what it's talking about. So the law is going to be over. Did you all know that? The law is going to be over. The law accomplishes nothing. Nothing under the law is made perfect. So anything that's done by us is perfect. God did it. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. Because you're not the vine. You're just the branch. You're the one that is not from, but you're the one that is through. Jesus, through you, accomplishes all his fruit, and that's how he does it. And so it's powerful. So we're just the branches in that vine that produces all this good stuff. And then we get credit for it, but we don't get credit because we did it. We get credit because he did it. As a matter of fact, when men see your good works, they will not thank you. They'll thank your Father in heaven because the Lord God was seen in your works. Is seen in your works.
Amen.
That's awesome.
Tatus autu. Tatus autu in Greek. What it means is when you do a good work, when you work a good work, men then may see that they see the Father, not you. They don't even see you. They see your work and they glorify the Father. You chose that person, that person, that person, that person. You chose to work through a human being. Wow. And they're marveling. They're like, how did that happen?
Amen.
That he could choose you to do a marvelous work. Anybody here?
Amen.
Anybody here? Yeah. Choose anybody. Yeah. Just anybody. You can't be brilliant. If you're brilliant, you're in la la land. But if you're not brilliant, if you just simply read the word, don't think it out or don't figure it out or don't be brilliant and great and I see this before everybody. Don't do that. Just simply read it and then declare it. That's it. And then live it. Because it's not the hearers of the word. It's the doers of the word. That's the one. So the law is over. What's the greatest evil in this world? Law. Why? There's nothing wrong with law. It just expresses Jesus. But it is something wrong in you that you think you're going to get credit for that. Because when you do something, there's no credit for it. It's just a free gift.
Amen.
It's a free gift. Let's just enjoy it. I enjoy it. I was in the hospital the other day with your dad, and he was telling all the nurses, "This is Pastor Jim. He's an awesome pastor." That was silly. But he just every nurse that came in, "This is Pastor Jim," and they looked at me and went, "Okay." Okay. They didn't believe him. But he was enthusiastic. He's the greatest pastor. That's just silly. Because there's nothing to me. I'm nothing. Nothing. Zero. Zero. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for, this is the last, for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. You're the desolate. You had no hope. You had no one on your side.
That's right.
There's no one on your side, but God liked you.
Yeah.
God liked you. He just said, I like that one. I like that one. Why? Because you're a human being. And he would do it with anybody. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't respect you because you're awesome and great. He just respects you because he created you. That's it. That's all it is God created you and he's impressed. Wow, that was perfect. Are you all blessed?
Amen.
It's powerful. This passage here, before 2,570, whatever, 2,507. This one is the distance between where he lived and then Jesus waiting for 6 months while John baptized. And then 6 months into it, he came and he was baptized into it. And then John was killed. And then he took over his ministry. And John sent him some of his followers. Hey, go see if this is the one. Is this the one? Because I don't want to make a mistake on this. Because he was the greatest one of the Old Testament. He was the greatest man that ever lived in the Old Testament. Why? Because he introduced the Christ. Even though his mother did, she was the light that brought him into the world. It's John that introduced him, not as Savior, but Lord and Bridegroom. He introduced him fully. So that Mary pondered these things in her own heart. Hope you're blessed by this message today. Because what's in front of you is 25, 30, 30, I don't know how many. I could make much, much more. Because everything that's yet to come is still ahead of us. That week that he's talked about is not even over yet. That week, that's only the first half of the week, and then there are seven ages. I'll explain that later. But seven ages in between Ephesus and then Smyrna and then Thyatira and Pergamos and Thyatira and so on is all the way up until today. We're in the Laodicean church. We're in the last church, that one that's have no hope at all. that's the last one. Is it looked like there might be hope, but then it all fizzled out. So even the Reformation failed. It didn't fail. It didn't succeed in doing everything God intended. But he didn't have any sin in that church. He had no sin at all. He just knows, that was a good church. And there's nothing wrong with it. I don't have any sin against this. But we today live in that church. We today go back to 1516, when Martin Luther first had his experience as a monk. Augustinian monk. And when that happened last year, 500 years later, last year, now it's 501. This year will be the day that he then posts the 95 theses on the Wittenberg door and broke with the church forever. He just thought maybe the Pope will be on my side. That's silly. But the Pope was just a humanist. He was just a patron of the arts. He was just, big time into deceiving people. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because he was just, did all kinds of things. But Martin Luther broke the thing and said, let's go back to this. Skip all that. I skip all of that. All the fathers said, the Pope said, everything council said, nothing. Nothing. We're going by the Bible. Unless you convince me by solid reason, if you give me solid reason and the Word of God, I'm not going to be convinced. because my conscience I'm not going to go against, and because of the Bible is the only thing with authority to it, nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else has authority. That's why he beat the whole Roman church for over 1,000 years. For over 1,000 years, he beat the whole thing. And it's still true to the day. Still true today. And, you know, wow. That's who we are, is I believe in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What's faith in? Always faith in a promise. Always a promise. Always a promise. Law are commands, but promises are faith in a promise. And what do you do? What do you do? You just act on it. You just act on it. If the Lord says you're holy, you're holy. So just get going. Get holy. I mean, just do it. Just whenever you meet somebody, you recognize that you're a lover of that person. You're on their side. You're not against them. You're not against Al-Qaeda. You're not against, you know, the homosexual agenda. You're not against anything. You're for Jesus. And all Jesus is for, he doesn't, you know, I don't like that person because they're a sinner. No, that's not God. God has never been against a sinner. He's always wanted sinners to repent so he could forgive them. If just a sinner would repent and say, God, I'm evil. That's all there is. I'm evil. I did evil right there. Sorry. Thanks. And that's it. Did you know that? Did you know that's all you got to say? You don't have to make up for it or do anything interesting or wander around the church or do a walk or something. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. Just God loves you just the way you are. Yeah. That's the way. Isn't that the way we love our kids? Yeah. When we love them, that's the way we love them. If we don't love them, then that's another deal. But if you love your children, you want what's good for them, even at your own sacrifice. That's God. That's God. We're just like God. Isn't that amazing? Now you could move beyond your children to other children and other people and so on and so forth. That's Christianity. But you didn't do any of that. That was done by God. I love you all.
Love you.
God is good.